So, real quick, Philly U students, that's those city groups, those are through Cornerstone. So the if you just learned about Cornerstone this morning and you're like, wait, so there's different groups than what Cornerstone has going? No, what we're actually doing this year is we're taking some members of City Light Church and they are going to help lead a couple of the of Cornerstone's life groups. And so they're sort of co-sponsored. So there'll be more info on that. If you want it, you can sign up. But that's what's going on. We're not reinventing the wheel on campus. We are partnering with another gospel-centered ministry called Cornerstone. So would love for you to be a part of that. Now, if you have a Bible, grab it. And we are going to Psalm 103. If you don't have a Bible, not a problem. There's one under your chair. If you don't own a Bible, that's our gift to you. Take it. Read it, enjoy it, and if you're not sure where Psalm 103 is, no problem, it's on page 502 in those Bibles underneath your chair. Page 502, Psalm 103. And as you're getting there, Psalm 103 is what is called a hymn psalm. A hymn psalm, H-Y-M-N, hymn psalm. Now, that will hopefully make some sense in a minute. I'll explain what a hymn psalm is, but before I do, let's read it. This is Psalm 103, a hymn psalm written by David, King David, around 1000-ish BC. Beginning in verse 1, Psalm 103. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Not those eagles. "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. Remove me, get me out of the way, and speak to us from your word. I pray for each of us, no matter where we're coming from this week, whether we follow you or have barely even heard of you, we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and speak to us today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a quick question. What was like the sweetest season in your life? Like if you were to think back and you're like, man, that was just an incredible season of life. What would it be? You know, you don't have to shout it out. It's cool. I'm a little afraid for the shout out answers after last week. I don't know if you guys remember, I asked like, what's your favorite song? And first, a bunch of people started telling me psalms that they liked. And then I had to sound all unspiritual and be like, no, I was just asking your favorite song. And then Patrick said, I Feel Like a Woman is his favorite song. So now I'm a little afraid of the back and forth here. But just think for a moment, like, what are some nice seasons in your life? What are some good seasons? You know, Andrew and I were talking about this last night. We were driving home from the King of Prussia Mall, which always surrounds a bad season of life for me. But we're driving back, and we're talking about this, and I just told her, I was like, I think probably the sweetest season of life was the time surrounding our wedding and honeymoon and getting our first apartment. I mean, it was just so cool. Andrew and I had a pretty tough engagement, and that's for multiple reasons, the primary being we got some really bad counsel from some other folks with really unhappy marriages, and they freaked us out about marriage. They were like, oh yeah, like it's really tough and it's drudgery and you're totally different and it's really difficult, but if you work at it hard enough, you'll have a nice time. We're like, oh my gosh, and that's the rest of our life? So we were kind of freaked out. But I remember on the wedding day, like those emotions just, those fears just evaporated. I watched Andrea come down the aisle. She was 45 minutes late, but still I was all excited about it. She's walking down the aisle, forgot her veil at home. They had to go back for it. She's walking down the aisle, and the fears just evaporated. And the wedding day was just perfect, and the honeymoon was even better than that, but that's a story for another time. And then we get back from the honeymoon, and it's just like such a cool thing. We got our first apartment. We were living in Louisville, Kentucky. And, you know, like I kind of did the thing. I picked Andrea up, and like we walk into the apartment, and like the thing was like 20 square feet, but we didn't even care. It was just like such a sweet season of life. And hymn psalms, like the ones one we just read, those are written for seasons like that. They're written for seasons like that. Like Mark Furtado, he's a Old Testament professor. He says this about hymn psalms. He says, hymns were composed for those times when all was well. They are songs for those trouble-free times in life, times when our lives are well-ordered and well-oriented. You know, maybe it's not like honeymoon season for you, but, you know, just those hymn seasons are those times in life where it's like, yeah, like, my family's happy, and I'm, you know, I'm back at school, and I haven't even seen a syllabus yet, and, you know, things are well. They're well-ordered in my life, and I'm like, I'm part of this church, and they love Jesus. I got friends. Like, it may not be perfect, but the hymn psalms are written for those times when it's like, life is good, man. Like, things are going well. I'm excited. And the reason I want to look so closely at a hymn psalm this morning is because, believe it or not, those times in life when everything seems to be going well, can it be the same times when it is hardest to walk in intimacy with God? They can be the hardest times to truly enjoy because they're the times where we're often prone to forget God. And so then we don't enjoy those seasons the way we're meant to. And so I want to look closely at those. If you're new this morning, we're in the middle of a series on the Psalms. It's a 4-week series. We're in week 2. Okay, and basically the reason we're going through the Psalms is the Psalms were, you know, ancient Israel's guide to life with God, and they're a very realistic picture into how to walk with God through all sorts of seasons of life. The highest highs, the lowest lows, and that in-between where most of us live most of our lives. And my hope and my prayer is that through this series, we're going to become a people that no matter the season, we walk in intimacy with God. We don't just know about him, we know him. Like we just know, like he is our friend, he is close, and the Psalms are our guide to that. And this morning, we're going to look at a hymn psalm written for times of the highest high. When things are going well, how can we both maximize our joy in those seasons and stay intimate with God, which is really the same thing? And so here's the big idea this morning. As you're looking at Psalm 103, here's the big idea. We walk in intimacy with God and enhance the joy of our great seasons by remembering God's benefits. We enhance our joy in the good times and walk in intimacy with God during them by remembering God's benefits. Look at Psalm 103. Look at how it begins. David is in like the best of times. Life is going well. I don't know what that meant for him. You know, maybe he learned a new tune on the harp or something. And all is well in his world. And this is what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's like, life is really good. And he's saying, soul. He's talking to himself. He's not going crazy. He's talking to himself, which is much better than listening to yourself, by the way. Most of us just listen to ourselves. It'd be a lot healthier. Talk to yourself, okay? And he's saying, soul, everything is going great. Life is good. Don't forget all the benefits of God. Don't forget all of God's benefits. And then the rest of the psalm is basically David recounting all these benefits, all these incredible things that God has done in his life. And this morning, I want to focus on two of the things that David reminds himself of and we need to remember if we want to enhance our joy and walk in intimacy with God during the great seasons. Two benefits of God to remember. And the first one is you must remember that you're redeemed. You have, if you want to maximize your joy in the good seasons and walk in intimacy with God, remember that you are redeemed. Take a look at verses 2 to 5. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he goes on, he says, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So here's what's going on in David's life. All is well. Things are going great. And he's saying, okay, don't forget his benefits. And the first thing, David, that you cannot forget is that you're redeemed. Is that you're redeemed. What he's saying to himself is, don't forget who God is. He's telling himself, don't forget who God is. God is the holy, uncreated creator of everything. I was telling the Philly U students this morning, God created the very concept of sound. I mean, that's just astounding. Color, didn't have to create it. He is the creator of color and atoms and Nutella, okay, which is fantastic. I just, like the mixture of Nutella and peanut butter. In eternity past, God knew that he was going to create this glorious, beautiful thing. And if you walk around this city, like if you go walking in Fairmount Park, what you see is like water. This is incredible. God created water. God created the expanses of the galaxies and the universe, and then he also created atoms. I mean, this is the God that David is thinking about here. The one who's never had an impure thought, the one whose very nature is moral perfection. And then David takes an honest look at himself. Takes an honest look at himself and he realizes, this great God who's created all these benefits, I have chosen his benefits over him. I have loved his creation and pushed him away as the creator. He's looking at himself, he's like, I deserve God's infinite wrath against my infinite cosmic treason against him. But David's hope, like all of faithful Israel at this time, was in a future Messiah, the coming Jesus Christ. And so not on the basis of David's works, but upon his faith in the coming Messiah, God does not deal with him according to his iniquities, but gives him grace. He redeems him. He forgives him. I mean, we're talking about David here. You guys, have they told you about some of the stuff that he did? Okay, this is not just the guy who plays harps and kills Goliath on his good days. This is David, who stole an upstanding man's wife. He saw her. He was being really lazy, and he sent his other men out to fight his war for him. And he sees Bathsheba in a little pool, rooftop pool, bathing. He's got a choice, like we all do. Am I going to walk toward that, or am I going to turn away from it? Not only does he walk toward it, he sends a servant, go get her for me. Servant goes, that's Uriah the Hittite's wife. You sure this is what you want to do? He's like, go get her for me. Brings her into the palace. The Bible says he knew her, and she became pregnant. And then instead of confessing his sin, he sends to one of his army generals, so to speak, and says, I want you to put her wife or her husband on the front lines. And then I want everyone to pull back. And Uriah the Hittite dies. David takes Bathsheba as his own wife. He is not a sinner in the abstract. Some of you are here, you go, oh, you don't know what I've done. I don't know if God can really love and forgive me. You don't know the shame I carry. David is saying, I have been forgiven an infinite amount by this God who is infinitely holy, and yet I've chosen everything but him, and he forgives me. He loves me. He's just looking at himself, and you know what he's doing? This is in life's great times. And he's looking at around at everything going well, and he's going, I do not deserve this. Like, I do not deserve this. I am not entitled to this. God is not dealing with me according to my sin. He's giving me mercy. And he doesn't stop there in his own life. Look at what he starts to say in verse 6. It's like, not only has all this mercy come to me, then he says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. So David's now starting to think, gosh, God hasn't not only... He hasn't dealt with me according to my sin. He starts to think about Moses' generation. Oh my gosh, Moses was the most unhappy pastor imaginable. He had to lead like 2 million people that were expert complainers. God leads them out of slavery, okay? Through the Red Sea on dry ground. Takes them out the other side and provides for them food miraculously every day. And all they can say is, the food here isn't quite as good. I'm like, are you serious? And so David's thinking about himself, and he's thinking about Moses, and look at what he says. He says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You better believe he is. And we don't even have, he didn't even know the fulfillment of it. See, as Christians reading this psalm, we know that God hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. He dealt with Christ according to our sins. See, you and I deserve death because of our sin. The consequence of sin is death. But Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came and lived the perfect life and deserved no death, went to the cross and died the death we deserve to die. God dealt with him according to our sins. Have you trusted in this Christ? Have you put your faith in this Christ who has taken all your iniquities? Now, let's back up for a sec. Why is David doing this in the good times? Why in the best of times is he reminding himself that he's redeemed? Here's why I think. This will kind of get personal a little bit for us. I think the reason that David reminds himself that he's redeemed in the best of times is that he knows that the fastest way to squander your good times and create that distance from the intimacy with God is to get entitled during your good times. Is to think that you're entitled to them. So what David is doing, he's actually maximizing his joy. He's saying, look, these circumstances are good, and I don't deserve them. Like, I deserve death, and he's actually going to give me life and a palace and, like, a wife and children. He's like, this is ridiculous. I do not deserve this. And he's maximizing his joy because not only is he saying, wow, times are good, he's going, look at what I actually deserve. See, this is so important because, I mean, for us, our generation, we are like the most entitled generation ever. And I'll just put myself in there with you. Like, we are the most entitled people ever. Like, I was watching, do you guys ever watch Louis C.K., the comedian? Okay, he's hilarious, by the way. And I was watching a clip the other day of him on Conan O'Brien. I was going to show it, but he cusses in it. So I was like, dude, you're killing me. So I didn't bring it, but he's on Conan, and he's talking about our generation being the generation of sort of like entitlement and how we really can't enjoy anything because we think we're entitled to everything and we're not really amazed by anything. And he's like, I'll give you an example. The other day, I was flying across the country. And he's like, yeah, I'm sitting in a plane enjoying the miracle of flight. And then the person comes on the intercom and says, oh, by the way, we have free Wi-Fi on this plane. Free Wi-Fi at 30,000 feet. He's watching YouTube videos. He didn't even know it existed. The guy next to him is like, are you serious? Wi-Fi? So they're on there watching videos. And of course, you know, like 10 minutes later, the Wi-Fi goes down. And he says, the guy next to me throws like a mini fit. He's like, oh, this is ridiculous. This stuff never works. And he's like, and Louis C.K., he looks at Conan O'Brien. He's like, how quickly this guy thinks the world owes him something he didn't even know existed 10 seconds ago. I mean, it's just like, it's unbelievable. But that is just like we are. Like the other day, Andrea and I got in a fight because I didn't want to paint a second coat on our living room. God has not only dealt with my sin according to Christ. He's not only put my sin on Christ, forgiven me of all my iniquity, he's given me this glorious wife and this beautiful new home to live in, and I'm like, I don't want to paint another coat. You know, it's like, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. But the reason it's so important, the reason in these seasons when all is well, the reason David begins by reminding himself of the gospel, the good news of grace, is because if you want to maximize your joy, like if you're in a good season, maximize your joy by understanding that you don't deserve this, that it is a gift purchased for you by Christ. You don't even deserve life. If you're hoping in Christ, you have eternal life. And he's given you, like, I don't know, You get to be a student at Philly U, or you get to be married. Like, these gifts that we don't deserve. And David is maximizing his joy by reminding himself of the gospel. So here's just something I want to encourage you to do this week in light of how David begins this hymn psalm. He says, you want to maximize your joy, the first thing you have to remember is that you're redeemed. So let me just give you a couple things that you can do with this week if you want to maximize your joy in the good times. Just spend some time, first thing, spend some time this week recounting God's benefits to you. Just spend some time recounting his benefits and start with the cross. Start by looking at the cross because God's ultimate benefit is instead of giving you judgment, he's given you himself. He's died for you, forgiven you. So start with the cross and then just start to look at all your benefits. Like, Andrea and I just got a house. It's not very big. It's like 1,000 square feet. That's bigger than 99.9% of all dwellings in this world. You know, it's just like, that's amazing. Recount his, are you wearing clothes right now? Thank you. Recount his blessings. You know, it's like, do you have a friend that loves, do you have a Bible in your hand? That is a blessing that a massive majority of this world does. Do you have a job? Do you have food? Like, recount his benefits. Don't make yourself feel bad about them. Recount them. Enjoy those good times. That's the first thing. Second thing is, be like David and remember God's past benefits to his people. That's one of the reasons why you see on your chair we have these psalm cards. This week, this is our guide to week 2 psalm reading. And I want to encourage you, There's a reading for every day of this week. Take this with you and read through each psalm, or read through the psalm for its day, and read it maybe like a couple times a day, maybe in the morning, in the afternoon, the evening, something like that. Read it slowly. Maybe read it out loud. Turn it into a prayer. Maybe journal about it. These psalms, hymn psalms, usually, they recount God's benefits as creator and redeemer. And so this will help kind of guide you into God's past faithfulness. So that's another thing you can do besides reminding yourself of his benefits, is to read the psalm cards. Another thing is, jump into a city group. If you're not yet involved in a city group, jump into one. You get to watch God's benefits in other people's lives, which is incredible. And that's another reason. Commit more regularly to being part of this gathering. Now, even if you're brand new, just say, I'm going to make this a weekly priority so that I can sing worship songs to God recounting his benefits. Just make this a regular rhythm of your life. And then lastly is, for some of you, I would say you need to commit to be baptized. If you want to remember God's benefits to you, one of the primary ways we do that in the Christian life is we get baptized, because we remember that just as Christ was killed, dead, and buried and raised on our behalf, so in him we are dead and raised to new life. So if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, we're going to have a baptism probably in like a month or something. I haven't even set the date yet. But it's not too early. Like, on your Connect card, just write in, I want to get baptized, or I want more info on baptism to recount God's benefits. And then put that in the orange box on your way out. But those are just some practical ways this week you can maximize your joy in the good times by remembering God's benefit of redemption. By remembering his benefit of redemption. Second one, and this one will be real quick. Remember in the greatest times that you're blessed to be a blessing. You want to maximize your joy in the good times. Remember that you are blessed in order to be a blessing. Look at what David says at the very end of this psalm, beginning in verse 19. Sorry, I'm like standing in front of you guys. That's got to be tough on the neck. What David has done is he's walked through all these benefits of God. And at the very end, he has sort of like a little mini explosion. He kind of goes crazy a little bit here, which is great. You know, when you're really in touch with what God has done for you, this is the sort of stuff you say. So he's like, these are all God's benefits. Then he hits verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels. He's yelling at the angels now. This is how good things are in his life. He's like, things are awesome, and I don't even deserve it. I'm redeemed from the pit, and yet I have like all these incredible benefits. He's like, angels, are you seeing this? Bless the Lord. He's command. Have you ever had that, like, in your prayer time? I haven't either. No, but, like, where you're just like, angels, are you guys in on this? Because this is incredible junk right here. Okay, so anyway, he said it in Hebrew. I don't know what the exact translation of junk is. But the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. He's like, everything, everywhere, people, rocks, trees, you need to start shouting. He has redeemed us. Sorry, I'm all excited this morning. I got warmed up over at Philly U this morning, and so now I'm like, all right, let's go. And look how then he ends it. He's like, and just so I make sure I don't just yell at you, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. What do we learn from this? If you want to maximize your joy in the greatest times, don't just remember his benefits. Remember that first. But remember that you're blessed in order to be a blessing. That you maximize your joy by not just taking it in, but speaking it. Not just receiving it, but receiving it, treasuring it, and making it known. I think this is the pathway to greatest joy. In his reflections on the Psalms, C.S. Lewis says that we really enjoy something once we finally speak about it. But let me just read you a little quote here. He says, "The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses." In England at this time, mistresses didn't have the same connotation. Okay, so he's saying this would be like husbands praising their wives. He says, the world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses. Readers their favorite poet. Walkers praise the countryside. Players praising their favorite game. And then he goes on, he says, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy. Because the praise not merely expresses, but it completes the enjoyment." He's basically saying, you want to really maximize your joy in those great times? Speak about it. Because that is the consummation of your joy in it. So if you're in one of these seasons, like David, where all is well, remember that you're blessed and filled in order to enjoy it and to be a blessing. So very practically, what this might look like is, if you're in one of these seasons, maybe now is the time to create the sort of delightful discipline of praying for other people. Or it's just like, yeah, I want to pour out by praying for other people. Maybe if you're in a city group, just start with the people in your city group. I want to pray for other people. Maybe it's encouraging other folks. And maybe you're in like one of these great seasons. Great, grab one of these like Philly U students and be like, come to lunch with me. I just want to encourage you like about who my God is. Or you can just go to lunch and you don't have to be like weird about it, okay? If you get a Philly, like don't get a Philly U student in front of you and just start yelling at them, okay? Maybe the second time. Another thing would be just speak about God's benefits to those who don't yet know him. Like all of us have people in our lives that they are enjoying God's benefits but don't know that they're from God. All of us have people in our lives who need to know what God has done in us through Christ. And part of that would be bringing them here to this place. It's both going out and speaking, but then bringing them here to this place. And I apologize, we will set up more chairs next week. Okay, so don't worry, you can bring your friends back next week too. But bring them into this place so that they can enjoy the benefits of God along with you, and so that your joy can be maximized. Get into a city group so that you can serve the needs of the city. The way that City Light serves our city is through our small groups, our city groups. If you're a student, get involved with Cornerstone. That'll be a pathway for that as well. In closing, let me just remind you that if you want to maximize your joy in the great seasons, remember what Jesus has done for you. That Jesus has paid it all for you. That by his grace, you are forgiven. And that all your benefits, Jesus has given you, and they are all his grace. We do not deserve them. Maximize your joy by remembering that Jesus has redeemed you, and then speak of that redemption. Make it known. Make it known. And start small, you know, like, you're like, make it known, do I need to go out on a street corner? No, like, are you married? Tell your wife. You have a kid? Tell your kid about Jesus' benefits. You got a roommate? Tell them. You got a neighbor? Tell them. You got someone that you like to run with? I like to run with people. Just tell them. Start with the people that are right around you. Now, truly in closing, I don't know why I say that. It's not like you guys are going to believe me anyway. It's like, in closing, for the sixth time, maybe you're here this morning and you're not in a hymn season. You're like, no, I'm not really feeling like shouting at angels today. It's just not that season for me. And it can be for any number of reasons. You know, maybe for some of you, you're excited to be back at school. For others of you, it's like, no, I'm a teacher. I'm not as excited. You know, I don't know, for whatever reason, for many of us, this isn't a hymn season. What do you do? You do the same thing. If you're here this morning and you're not in a hymn season, the way to maximize your joy in Christ while you wait for your circumstances to change, or you even labor for your circumstances to change, is to remember that you are redeemed. remember how deeply Christ loves you. Remember that he is the ultimate satisfaction of your soul as you wait for your circumstances to change. I mean, we live in a fallen world. Life is up and down. Sometimes circumstances are wonderful and sometimes they're not. But even in the midst of that, God calls us to rejoice, not in our bad circumstances, but in him. And we can rejoice in him because he's redeemed us. Because at the end of the day, nothing can change that about you. If you're in Christ, you are redeemed. That's why we take communion every week. And we're going to do this in a moment. The reason we take communion every week is because we always, no matter what the season, must, as Christians, remember the benefits of redemption. We always have to remember that Christ has had his body broken and his blood shed for us. So this morning, in response, not only do I want to encourage you to do the practical things, you know, we talked about. Read the psalm, take these psalm cards with you. There's a guide to the psalms online on our website, citylightphilly.com. I have a blog post about hymn psalms and how to read them. I posted it this morning. But even more than all those things, recounting his benefits and whatnot, right now what I want to call you to is to remember his ultimate benefit, that he died so that you could know him. So this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've said, yes, I'm a sinner, and the only hope for being forgiven and redeemed by God is through Christ, I want you to come to this table during the next three songs, anytime. We just kind of come up during the time of worship, tear off a piece of bread, dip it into the wine or the juice, and remember. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, you're saying, yeah, I think I'm enjoying these benefits, but I've never fallen in love with the one who gives them. I want to invite you, don't yet come to this table. But right where you are, you can take that step of trusting Christ as your Savior. Right where you are, you can say, God, I know that I'm a sinner, deeply indebted to your benefits, yet I've taken them without you. I've committed cosmic treason, and yet you've sent Christ to take the penalty for me. Jesus, I trust you. I believe in you. And then if that is the step you're taking today, what I want you to do is then come. Then come to the table, but not before. And be sure to write in on your card that you want to get baptized, or that you today decided that you will receive Christ as Savior and want to follow him, and that you want to get baptized. Sorry if I got a little over the top. I get excited on Sunday mornings. Let's pray, and let's worship this God who's given us all these benefits, both in song and remember at the table. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the benefits of Christ. Thank you for the cross. I pray if there's anyone here this morning who's never said, Jesus, I desperately need you and your grace, or I cannot stand, or I will be judged. Father, I pray that you would just draw anyone who's in that place right now to trust in Christ and then come to the table and to sign up to be baptized. And I pray for all of us that we would remember your benefits, and in the seasons that we're in, no matter where we are, that we would rejoice in you and in all your benefits. In Christ and through him we pray. Amen.